Barney Greatrex. From Bomber Command to the French Resistance, the stirring story of an Australian hero. Written and read by Michael Veitch. As Prendergast, tired and hungry as the rest, considered what kind of shelter could be made should they be in for a long wait, Henri Odile reappeared, barely an hour since his departure, breathless and as wild-eyed as anyone had ever seen him. "Hurry," he implored, glancing anxiously at the lightening sky. "We must all hurry before it becomes too late. The Germans are everywhere." As the group set off from the forest, Odile explained to Prendergast, in hushed tones, how he had met a farmer who assured him that an American forward post was on the other side of his farm. But it was dangerous. A few days earlier, another Marquis group had attempted a junction under similar circumstances. In the ensuing confusion, a gun battle had erupted, with one man killed on each side. Emerging from the protection of the forest, the group, led by Henri Odile, found themselves in precisely the situation they had sought so hard to avoid, revealed in full view to the enemy. As they approached a farm, taking shape in the dawn light, Henri gave a muffled shout from the front of the column, more like a hiss, urging his comrades to hit the deck. Barney dared to look up. There, less than 200 metres away, a squad of a dozen or so armed German soldiers were preparing breakfast around a canteen. As unobtrusively as possible, the men shuffled behind the cover of a hedge and waited, all the while watching the day beginning above them. Someone up ahead passed the word down that the coast was clear, and they set off again. "How far?" some of them would ask. The reply from Henri was always the same. 300 metres, he would say impatiently. 300 metres. Barney remembers the almost unbearable tension of that flight from the forest. Dawn was breaking on the mist-enshrouded plateau, and firing almost ahead of us caused me to keep very low down and have my carbine cocked. From somewhere came a burst of machine gun fire. From somewhere else, a crack of 3 rifle shots. Who they were meant for was not clear, but the men kept their heads down and kept walking, feeling that whatever now happened, they were beyond the point of no return. "By this time," says Barney, "I knew it was now or never." By now, Barney and the rest of the Marquis felt they had travelled 300 metres several times over. As they continued, 1 foot placed stubbornly in front of the other, they had the sense they were crossing some kind of no man's land. Sounds in the half-light felt close up, then deep in the distance. Each man trusted, literally, with his life, the direction the leaders of the column were taking. A shell whistled, and the column stopped involuntarily. Then came the crump of it hitting the ground and exploding, to their relief, behind them. As the light grew, it threw a dewy film over everything, soaking already worn-out boots and shoes that were never meant for battle. At least the morning did its best to muzzle their footsteps in this vague and uncertain landscape.